Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Yud Aleph. We left off on daf Yud Amid Beis. We read down almost to the end of the page, but we left off with a story that was a little bit perplexing or a little bit interesting, and we sort of rushed through it. We had the story at the end of yesterday's daf about the Gemara spoke about whether you could have a Melech ben Melech in terms of the Romans, and the Gemara spoke about different Roman emperors, and the Gemara says that there was someone named Katia bar Shalom. So we wanted to know who was this Katia bar Shalom. So the Gemara told this unbelievable story that he was an advisor, and there was the Caesar decided that he wanted to kill the Jews. He said it's like an ache on your foot. You don't want to live with it, with the pain the rest of your life. You'd rather just cut it off and be done with it. And he told the Caesar that it doesn't make sense to go and try to kill the Jews for two reasons. Number one, you're going to be unsuccessful. And number two, you're going to be known as a genocidal person, as someone who tried to commit genocide. So it's not going to be good for you in either direction. You're not going to be successful because just like the Arba Ruchos, the world can't exist without Arba Ruchos. The world's not going to exist without the Jewish people. So he said, okay, that's a good point, and you're right, but you're not supposed to outsmart the Caesar, and therefore you're going to get killed. So when he was on his way to get killed, there was a woman that said, it's too bad that you're going to get killed and you don't have a bris milah, because you're not going to be able to get into Olam Haba without a bris milah. So he right away went and he gave himself a bris milah. Unclear exactly how he did it. He fell on a rock, he did something in such a way where he gave himself a bris milah. And then he said, okay, now I'm ready, now I'm all ready to be able to go in Olam Haba. And when Rabbi Akiva, and he said, I wanted all my nechasim, all my money, to go to Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. Rabbi Akiva said, well, wait a second, what does that mean, lahalacha, when he says that he wants all of his money to go to Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav? He says, we have a precedent for that, of v'hayila aron ulevanav, when the Chumash says v'hayila aron ulevanav, and we know it means mechsala aron mechsala levanav. So when he says he wants all of his money to go to Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav, must mean he wants 50% to go to me, and 50% to go to everybody else. And a baskal came out and says that Katir Brashalom is Muzum L'chayol Maba. Rebbe then goes and cries that you see, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'a Achas and Yesh Kona Olamo B'Kamashanim, obviously a reference to the fact that Katir Brashalom in just a very short period of time was able to be Kona Olam Haba. So a couple of points. The Gemara Maseches Erevin and Daf Yud Tes, and also the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, says the same thing, that Avram Avinu is Shomer on the Pesach of Olam Haba, and he doesn't allow anyone to come in who's Mashuch Bar Lasso, who doesn't have a Bris Mila. So there is this connection between Olam Haba and Bris Mila. The Bris Mila in particular is a very important ticket to Olam Haba. The Purus Yosef in the back of the Gemara asks, but wait a second, Mila is not kosher when performed by a guy. A non-Jew who performs a Bris Mila, it's not a kosher Mila. So over here he was a non-Jew and he gave himself a Bris Mila. So the Purus Yosef says, no, that over here it's different because through that act of Mila, he was coming to be Megayer. So it was while he was getting the Mila that he was being Megayer himself. So at the end of the Mila, he already was a Jew. Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Beis writes very similarly that even though Ger Shabbalis Gayer is not allowed to mal himself because he's still a guy, but if he does go and mal himself, you don't need Hatafas Dam Bris, the Minchas Chinuch says. Why not? Because even though he's still a guy, through the Mila he's becoming a Jew, and Milaso V'Geruso Bayin Kechad. We have this concept of Bayin Kechad in many different places in Chas, most famously by Get, Gita v'yada ba'in ke'echad. How does a woman have the ability to acquire a get of kol ma shekana isha kana baila? Whatever she goes and tries to acquire, her husband acquires. So no, since through this get she's becoming no longer connected to her husband, so at the same time it happens simultaneously that she acquires the get and she acquires her independence from her husband. She acquires her yad. So too over here, through this act of mila he becomes a Jew, and therefore the act of mila is a kasher act of Mila. The idea that you need a Mila as a ticket to Olam Haba is also reflects itself in Halacha. Shulchan Aruch in Yarder, Rish Samach Gimel Sif Hei, says that a Tinok Shemes, let's say you have a child that dies before he gets a Bris Mila, right, whether it's he dies within the first week, Rachman al Tzlan, of being born, or for whatever reason he didn't have a Mila, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, Malino Sawal Kivro, we give him a bris milah before we bury him, which seems like a very strange practice, to give a bris milah before we bury. But the Mefarshim explained the reason is based on what it says in the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah, that someone who's maul is not yorid l'gehenim. Someone who has a bris milah, it helps him go to Olam Haba, so it saves him from the Eish Shal Gehenim. So in the Sefer Koris HaBris, he asks, why don't we make a bracha on a milah of a tinok shemes, even though it happens to only be a minhag, but we do make brachos on minhagim. So he says the minhag is to do it without a priya, and without a priya we don't make a bracha, because mal v'lo paras ki'ilu lo mal, but still the minhag is that we do a bris milah. And the idea is that that someone who's mashach parlas, or someone who doesn't have a bris milah, does not have that ticket to Olam Haba. So we said in the Gemara that Ketir Bar Shalom is muzuman l'chayi Olam Haba. Now the truth is, every Jew, according to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. So what's the extra chiddush? He was megayer, so of course he's mezuman l'chayi olam haba. So the point is that even though it wasn't really a geiris gemura, he didn't do really a proper geiris. He just went and mauled himself last minute. He didn't have a normal beis din performing a geiris. Nevertheless, he's also mezuman l'chayi olam haba. Or else you could just say that yeah, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. But how much do we have to suffer in Gehenna before we get to Olam Haba, depending on how we live our lives? When we say that Ketir Bashalom is Mizum L'Chai Olam Haba, it means that he was really Mizum L'Chai Olam Haba without having to go through any sort of Yisurim on his way to get to Olam Haba. Okay, so those are just a couple of points about that story. Now let's pick up two lines from the bottom on Yudam and Beis. Antoninus Shimshe the Rebbe. Antoninus used to be Mishamish Rebbe, used to serve Rebbe. Adarkan Shamshe the Rav, and Adarkan used to be Mishamish Rav. Kishachav Antoninus, Amar Rebbe Nispar de Chavila. When Antoninus died, Rebbe declared that the rope has been severed, that everything has fallen apart. Kishachav Adarkan, when Adarkan died, Amar Rav Nispar de Chavila. Rav made the same declaration. So what does that mean, Nispar de Chavila? So Rashi says, Avasenu Shenikshra Nefesh Benefesh. We were such good friends, our souls were so bound with each other, and now it's all gone. So it was a statement of woe unto us that our friendship is now severed. In the Sefer Avodas Avoda, one of the Achronim on Maseches Avodah Zarah, he writes that it's that the derech of Ohavim, the derech of people who love each other, is that their nefashos are kshurim not only in Olam Hazeh but in Olam Haba as well. Like we find by David and Yehonasan in Shmuel Beis, Hanehavim vaneimim bechayehem. Uvim mosam lo nifradu, that even when they die, they are not nifrad from each other; they're not separate from each other. So therefore, some of the achronim explain that this declaration of nispar de chavila is saying, look, end of the day, I'm a Jew, he was a guy. So even though normally, when people are very close to each other, the neshamas remain close to Olam Haba, at this point, this is where it ends, because a Jewish neshama is going to go to a different place than the non-Jewish neshama is going to go. So they had to make that declaration to ensure that they don't get dragged down to wherever their friend's neshama was headed to. The Shlach HaKadosh writes in Masech Shavuos that when you say Yizkar, we don't say Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, because the neshama of a Jew is lemala mikanfei hashchina. It's only the nefesh of a ger, he says, that's tachas kanfei hashchina. Nishmas Yisrael, nishmas gerim don't come from the same place. We saw that earlier in Tosos and Daf Hamad Aleph, that the neshama shel Yisrael and neshama shel Nachrim don't come from the same guf. There's two different that place in Shemayim where the neshama start. It's called a guf, and they come from different places. So that's what Rebbe was concerned, that the nefesh of Antoninus is going to be Moshechim a little bit lower to Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. So that's why he had to make this declaration of Nisparda Chavila. You find this idea that even with a ger, that it's not going to be quite the same, that they don't go to quite the same place in the according to the Shlach HaKadosh, in Megillas Rus. In Megillas Rus, in the first parak, it says, Ki Amavas Yafrid Beini Uveinecha, that death is going to be what ultimately separates us. Because in Olam Haba, Ger and Yisrael are exactly exactly the same and equal, but after Misa, there's some sort of difference, whatever that means. Okay, it says the Gemara in Vayitern, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph at the top, Unkelus Bar Kolonimus Igayer. Unkelus Bar Kolonimus was someone who's Megayer. It's unclear which Unkelus this was. There were several Unkeluses. It's not clear that this is necessarily the one who wrote the Targum Unkelus, but it's still a great story. Shadar Kesar Gunda Dramaya Basrei, the Kesar sent a legion of troops, a troop after of Roman soldiers after him to arrest him. Mashkinu Bekrai, and he started speaking to them and getting them involved in a discussion about Psukim, and he was Megayer them. So he lost his first set of troops, so he sent a second set of troops to go and arrest Unkelus. But this time he sent the troops with instructions. He said, listen, don't tell him anything, don't speak to him, because he's very good. He starts speaking to him, he's going to be able to convince you. So when they were taking him out, he said, you know, let me just tell you a random thing. I'm not going to try to, you know, proselytize. I'm not going to try to do anything. I just want to say something stam. So Nifiura Nakat Nura Kame Pipiura. The Nifiura, which is a low-level officer, holds a torch in front of the Pipiura, which is a slightly higher level officer. Pipiura Leduchsa, and a Pipiura holds a torch for a Duchsa, which is a yet higher level officer. Duchsa Lehegmona, the Duchsa holds it for the Hegmon, and Hegmona Lekuma, and the Hegmon would hold the torch to aid and to help a king. Kuma Minokat Nura Mekamayinshi. Now, does a king hold the torch for Stam regular people? He was asking them a riddle. Will you ever find a king that holds a torch for a regular layman, for a regular citizen? Samri Lelo, they said, no, that's ridiculous. Why would the king hold the torch for a regular citizen? Samarlu Akadosh Baruch Hu Nakat Nura Kame Yisrael. He says, yeah, well, our king, the Melech Malchei Amlachim, Akadosh Baruch Hu, is different then, because he actually carries the fire in front of Klal Yisrael. D'chsiv Hashem Holich Lefneim Yomam. Pasuk says that Hashem is Holich Lefneim Yomam. Ba'amud Anan L'chosim Adarach. The pasuk continues, V'layla Ba'amud Eish La'ir Lahem. That Akadosh Baruch Hu goes in front of us in Amud Eish to hold the fire for us in the dark. So that was so impressive to them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so good to the Jewish people. Igayer Kulus, so they were all Megayer. So this Kesar lost his second troop now. Hadashad Gunda Achrina Basrei. So he went and he sent a third troop of people. Amar Lahu, Lo Tishto Midi Ba'adei. And he said, listen, not only don't discuss Pesukim, don't talk to him at all. Keep your mouth shut, don't say a word, and don't let him say a word. Do not discuss anything. So when they were taking him out of the house, so he didn't say anything, he kept his mouth shut. He saw the mezuzah on the doorway of his house. So Osiv Yadei Allah, he put his hand on the mezuzah. V'amr luhu, my high. And they said to him, why'd you do that? They broke their instructions. They said, why did you do that? Why did you put your hand on the mezuzah, on that scroll? Amrulay, so they said to him, he said to them, why do you think I did that? So he pulled them in. He said, why do you think I touched that scroll on my door? So Amrulay, Emelanat, they said, we don't know why you did that. Why don't you explain to us why you did that? He said, well, I'm glad you asked. Amrulahu, min hago shalalam, normally the way the world works, melech basav adam yoshi b'mfim v'avadam sham rosu mibachutz. A melech basav adam sits secure on the inside, and his avadim stand on the outside, and they protect him from the outside. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the opposite. Avadav mi b'fnim v'hu m'sharmer mi b'chutz. He has the avadim on the inside of the house, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the outside of the house, protecting the avadim. Shenemar Hashem yishmar tzeischa v'echa me'ata v'yad olam. So Igir, right away they were all Megayer, they couldn't believe, they were so impressed that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the Jewish people. He offers such protection for them. They were Megayer. Sula Shad Basrei, the Kesar then gave up. He didn't want to lose all of his people. He stopped sending people to arrest Unkelus, because Unkelus had this tremendously successful way of being Megayer anyone who went. Now, a couple of very important points from this last part of the story. Osiv Yadei Aleh, the Ma'aril writes in the Minhagi Ma'aril that Bekol Eis Kesheyetze Adam Mipesach Beso, every time a person leaves the doorway of his house, Yaniach Yado Al Mezuzah, he should put his hand on the Mezuzah, V'yomer Hashem Shomri Hashem Tzili Al Yadimini, and he should say over a pasuk about but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers protection. So the assumption is that the Ma'aril comes from this Gemara. The Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch in Yerodei Sim Reish Pehei writes that the idea of Hanachas Yad is already mentioned in Gemara Avodah Zarah, and when the Rama quotes this halacha in Simon Reish Pehei Sif Beis, when the Rama says Yeshomim Kesha Adam Yotze Min Abayis Yaniach Yado Al Mezuzah, he should put his hand on the mezuzah. So the Gemara right there in Sifkat Nehei quotes Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. This is the source in Shas for putting your hand on the mezuzah when we go through an area. This is an interesting source because the Gemara doesn't say that you're mechuyev to put your hand on the mezuzah. In fact, it sounded like something that was somewhat unusual, that he did it as a way of piquing their interest, but not necessarily that something he would do all the time. But you see that it saved his life, it saved the life of Unkelus, and it was Megayer so many people, and there was a profound message involved about the beauty of Judaism and the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the Kal Yisrael, so it's a good idea. Now, in Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Siman Nun Ches, he says that he's seen many people that do the wrong thing, that when they leave their house, they put their hand on the mezuzah, and they don't pay attention to whether the mezuzah is actually in a cover or it's not in a mezuzah cover, it's just a scroll on the doorway. Now, we're used to having mezuzahs always being in a cover and not just being a scroll. But Rabbi Kiva Eger said if the mezuzah is not in a cover, it's a big problem to put your hand directly on the scroll. He says it's Mavur in Masechta Shabbos and Tosos Yudalad Amid Beis in Masechta Shabbos Dibra Maschal HaOches that all Kisvei HaKodesh are Metamin HaSiyadayim, that it's usher for a person to touch Kisvei HaKodesh without any hafzik between your hands and the Kisvei HaKodesh. That's why when we get an aliyah and we kiss the Torah, we take the gartel or the talus or something to kiss it. We don't touch directly with our hands. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says it's pashut that a mezuzah is also included. So he says it's not appropriate to touch a mezuzah with hands that aren't covered or with a mezuzah that's not covered. And he says besides this minute to put your hand on the mezuzah doesn't have any source in Shas. It's a Ma'aril. So to observe a minhag of the Ma'aril that doesn't have any makor in Shas whatsoever, we're going to risk violating an Isser. So you see, Rabbi Kiva Eger understands that our Gemara is not really a source for the idea. It's the only place where the idea comes up, but it's not really a source for a Chiyuv to go and to actually touch the mezuzah. Birkei Yosef quotes from the Arizal that a person should put his etzba, that's called the amma, the middle finger, on the shakai, on the outside of the mezuzah, and he should kiss it and be mispallah shashem yishmeinu, that Hashem should protect him. So the Arizal is the source of the idea to kiss it. The Raman, Shulchan Aruch, doesn't mention anything about kissing. He just says on your way into a room to touch the mezuzah. It's a way of reminding yourself that there's a mezuzah there and that wherever you go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. It's also not so pashut. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that a mezuzah is included in Kisvei HaKodesh in this regard. The Darkei Moshe in Sifkat and Beis over there says that in Or Chaim Simkuf Mem Zayin says that by Shar Kisvei HaKodesh we're not really so careful about this. That by Sefer Torah we're very careful. By other Sefer HaKodesh we're not really so careful about this. The Nodbido also in Madura Kama Or Chaim Simen Zayin tries to prove that it's only by Sefer Torah and not by Shar Sefer HaKodesh. So that's point number one, touching the mezuzah. Another very important thing that comes out of this is what was the message that he told them? That a mezuzah is there to protect you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us by having a mezuzah. Now that theme comes up in a lot of places. The Gemara Maseches Menachos Lamed Gimel says that the reason we put, let's say you have a very wide doorway, you have a doorway that the Pesach, we're used to doorways that are only about a tefach thick in total, but normally if you ever go to really old ancient buildings, that these stone buildings where the doorways could be several amos wide. So where do you put the mezuzah along that doorway? So the halacha is that you kover the mezuzah on the tefach hasamuch l'rishus harabim, on the outermost tefach that's closest to the rishus harabim. Why? Because the mezuzah protects everything inside of it, so you want it to protect everything inside, not just on the innermost part of your doorway. So that's the idea, that the mezuzah in some way protects from mazikin. The Gemara in Pesachim Dav Dalar Menalf, Rashi Pesachim rather, Dav Dalar Menalf writes that the reason mezuzah is the chovas hadar, the chiv of mezuzah is on the person who lives there, rather than, let's say, the person who owns the place, is because the mezuzah protects the person. So the one who's getting the protection is the one who's living there. The one who's getting the protection from the mazikin is the one who lives there. It's mustaber, therefore, he should be the one that puts up the mezuzah. And that's what Tosfos Misachas Menachos Memdal Amud Aleph also just says, Stam, mezuzah l'shimur avid. A mezuzah is there for protection. So this comes up throughout all of Shas, that a mezuzah in Rishonim also, that a mezuzah is there for protection. In fact, in the Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah, it says that Artavan shalach l'Rebbe Marganisa, that someone sent Rebbe a pearl, and Rebbe sent him back a mezuzah. So va'amrle Rebbe, and Rebbe sent a message back with the mezuzah, thank you very much for the gift. The gift I gave you is better than the gift that you gave me, though. And not only that, the gift that you gave me needs to be protected. The gift that I give you does the protecting. It's actually going to protect you. So again, you see this idea of a mezuzah being for protection. There's a whole literature about why Rebbe was allowed to send a mezuzah to a guy. This is a shaila that comes up. Mm-hmm. Someone in the shul just asked me a shaila that a non-Jewish colleague asked him for a mezuzah. He was interested in having the protection that a mezuzah offers, and he was definitely not Jewish, an African-American fellow, and he asked him for a mezuzah, and he wanted to know, are you allowed to go and give a mezuzah to a non-Jew? Is it mutter to go give a mezuzah to a non-Jew? It's a major discussion in halacha. The Raman Yerodei Reish Sadi Aleph says that Mishum Eva it's mutter. The real issue is that he's not going to treat it respectfully. So that's how a lot of the Achronim write, that if you know that he's going to be Noigba Min HaKavod, that he's going to treat it with respect, so that it's mutter. Question is, can you give him a mezuzah case and tell him that that's a mezuzah? Is that a Genevis Das? You know, he's not paying you for it, so it's not Genevis Mamon, but is it Genevis Das? And Genevis Das is also even for a non-Jew, so probably you can't even do that. But anyway, this idea that a mezuzah is there for protection is something that's very well-grounded. However, the Torah writes in Hilchos Mezuzah that even though a mezuzah is shomer us from azikin, lo yehe kavanas ha-makayma elo l'kayim mitzvah sabori yisala shetzivanu aleha, that our kavanah in putting up a mezuzah has to be to do the mitzvah Hashem, and that's it. Our kavanah in putting up a mezuzah is not for protection. That happens to be a side benefit. But that's not what we are trying to do when we put up a mezuzah. A mezuzah is there in order to fulfill the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mezuzah, Rambam the ultimate rationalist, Hilchos Mezuzah Perikei Alecha Dalet, he writes, Minag Pashut Shekosim Al Mezuzah Mibachutz Keneged Arevach Shebein Parsha LeParsha Shin Dalet Yud. That the minag is that we write a Shin Dalet Yud on the outside of the parchment. Ve'in B'zeh Hefzid L'Fishu Mibachutz. He says, no problem, because it's on the outside. Aval, Elu HaKosim Ribifnim, Shemos HaMalachim, Shemos Kedoshim, Pasuko Chosamos, but those who write Kabbalistic things or other things on the inside of the mezuzah, Harehem Bechlal Mishen Lem Chelek Li Olam Haba, they don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba, She'elu HaTipshim, because these morons, Lodailem, Shabbatu HaMitzvah, not only are they not doing the mitzvah, El Sha'asu Mitzvah Gedola, She'yichud HaShem, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, V'Avaso, V'Avadaso, Kilu Hu Kameh, they took a mitzvah that's supposed to be Avodas Hashem, and they turned it into Hana'as Atzman, just getting their own benefit from it. The Rambam very strongly says that yes, it's possible that a mezuzah does protect us in some way, but at the same time, that's not why we do mezuzah, and someone who does the mitzvah for that reason alone, ultimately is going to make halachic compromises in terms of the mezuzah, whether it be with Kabbalistic names on the inside, or how we see sometimes where people carry a mezuzah in the rear view mirror of their car or whatever, in places that don't need a mezuzah, just for as a skula, as a kameya. The Rambam says such a thing is a terrible thing to do with something that's supposed to be a mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's the issue of mezuzah being protection. Vayter in the Gemara. Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bevitneich. So the story with Rivka, she has these two children, she's pregnant with two children, and she's told shnei goyim bevitneich. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, al tikri goyim ela geyim. Not only goyim, but very proud ones, ones who are up high. Zeh Antoninus v'Rebbe, and that's a reference to Antoninus and Rebbe. Shelo pasku me'al shulchanam, that they never had off their table. Lo chazaris v'lo kishos v'lo tznon, lo b'yivos hachama, v'lo b'yivos hachshama. Summertime, wintertime, you can go to their tables and you can always find lettuce, cucumbers, and radishes. And that's how wealthy they were, that they always had all these things on their table. So, fractosos. That's how wealthy they are. I mean, radishes, big deal. Cucumbers, I mean, these aren't things that are particularly expensive foods. We're not talking about steak. We're not talking, you know, so why is this a big deal? So Tulsa says, Shalapaskum Mishulchanim Tznon, Einze Rabusa, El Shayu Marbim Suda Shulchanim Shayu Tzrichan Lechatech Lahapech Machu Laharcha Bnei Me'ayim. These foods come to serve, the Gemara is about to explain, during a meal. They help in the digestion process, they help in eating with other foods, they help in the appetite, and the reason they needed these foods all the time is because they always had so many other foods on the table. So this is symbolic of what else they had going on the table. Now Tosfos points out also on the end of the first Tosfos that the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Kuf Dalid that Rebbe was never nena min ha'olam afilu be'etzba ketana. That's one of the things Rebbe said before he died, was that he wasn't nena from Olam Hazeh even with the etzba ketana. So what does it mean that he had all this food? So Tosfos says that ochle shulchano hayu rabim. He had a lot of people eating at his table. He wasn't nena any more than he needed to be nena, but he did have a lot of people eating at his table. The Gemara Babasra says that Rebbe was very very generous with his money. That during the Gemara Babasra Daf Ches says that in years of famine he would open up his storehouses and just distribute to people who needed. And you find a lot of places in Shas that Rebbe was very wealthy, and he used that wealth to be mefines other people. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos says that it's no accident that Rebbe was the one who was mesadded the Mishnayos, and was also someone who was so incredibly wealthy. He says because of his great wealth, he had the ability to be marbitz Torah b'Yisrael and to gather together the words of the different Chachamim and to be mesadded the Mishnayos. He had the respect of the people because of his wealth, and he had the wherewithal and the ability to spend time on it and to put the effort into it because he had a tremendous amount of wealth. He didn't have to worry about what he was going to eat the next day. So the Rambam says that wealth enabled Rebbe to be able to put together the Mishnayos. And the Minhagim Ariel, he says that that's why the Gemara Nehrevin says Rebbe, and the Pevav Amar Aleph, Rebbe was Mechaber Ashirim, because Rebbe was afraid that he didn't want to get any kavod from his Torah. So he was afraid that people are going to give him kavod because of his great Torah knowledge. So he's Mechaber Ashirim to create an environment where Ashirim get respected, where you get respected for wealth. This way, when people gave him kavod, he was always able to convince himself that it was about the wealth, that it wasn't about the Torah, and he wasn't nana from his Torah. Okay, da'amar tznon mechatech ochel, a radish goes and cuts up the food well for a person inside the stomach, chazeres mahapich ochel, and lettuce helps to turn the food over, kishos marchiv me'ayim, and cucumbers help to broaden a person's stomach. V'atana d'ver Rabbi Shmuel, lama nikra shman kishuin mimrei shakashin l'guf shalodim k'charavos, aye, but didn't we say that they're called kishuin because they're difficult for a person's body, like swords, that they're not good for a person? So lo kasha, habiravrvi habazutri. If they're very large kishuin, then it's bad for a person. If they're small kishuin, then it's good for a person. Fine. Yom HaLeidah v'Yom HaMisah. So the Mishnah mentioned that Yom HaLeidah v'Yom HaMisah, that the day of the birth and the day of the death of the king were days that they celebrated. But there was a machlokas in the Mishnah also about the Yom HaMisa. Right? What did the Mishnah say on Daf Chesamir Aleph? Right? The Mishnah said Yom HaLeidah v'Yom HaMisa Divra Meir, but the Chacham said no. Kol Misa Sheyesh Basreifa Yesh Bavodas Kochavim. Only if there's burning involved in the Misa, when they burn things because of the death, that's when that day has some connotation of Avodah Zarah. But v'she'in basreifa, ein ba'avodas kochavim. If there's no sreifa, then there's no Avodah Zarah. That was the shita of the Chachamim. So says the Gemara, Mechal d'ra meir savar, lo shemisa she'esh basreifa, lo shemisa she'in basreifa. Sounds like Rameir holds that it doesn't matter whether they're burning anything or not. Either way, palchi ba'avodas kochavim. Either way, they use that as an opportunity, the Misa of a king as an opportunity to worship Avodah Zarah. Alma Sreifa Lav Chukahi. So what you see from there is that Sreifa is not a chukah. What does it mean it's not a chukah? So Rashi says it means it's not something that they do as a chokla Avodah Zarah. It's not something that they use as a way that's automatically for Avodah Zarah. So Mechal, the Rabbanan Savri Sreifa Chukahi, but the Rabbanan who disagree and who say only when the Misa is accompanied by Sreifa is it a problem to do business with the Ovdei Kochavim a few days in advance. They apparently hold Sreifa is the key for the Avodah Zarah, that it is a chok l'Avodah Zarah. V'atanya, aye, but we have a braisa, sarfanel melachim v'lo medarkei amari, that if a Jewish king dies, we're allowed to burn his stuff, and it's not considered from the darkei amari, v'chukihi anan hechi sarfinun. But if it's a chok, if it's something that's a chok l'Avodah Zarah, then how are we allowed to do that? V'aksivu b'chukoseim l'selechu. Isn't that rule number one of Maseches Avodah Zarah that we're not supposed to do, like the Avodah Avodah Zarah? So if it's a chok l'Avodah Zarah, how are we allowed to do it? So it must be that no one considers it a chok l'Avodah Zarah. No one thinks that burning the king's stuff is something that's a chok l'Avodah Zarah. It's just a way of showing chashivus. And what's the machlokas in our Mishnah? Rameir holds it doesn't matter whether there's sreifa or no sreifa involved. Either way, they're going to go and worship Avodah Zarah. For Rabbanan Savri, Misa Sheish Basrefa Khashiva Luhu Upalchiban. The Rabbanan say no. A Misa that's so chashiv that they're gonna go and burn things over, so that you know is chashiv enough that they're gonna take that opportunity to be over the Avodah Zarah as well. Vishain Basrefa Lo Khashiva Lo Palchiba. But if there's no Srefa involved in the Misa, then it's not so chashiv and they're not gonna use that opportunity to go and be over the Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara had assumed as a Davar Pashut that if it is a chok l'Avodah Zarah, then we would not be allowed to do it. So Frekt Tosos, why not? Why don't we say, he says, Tema, Maika Baruch, Dilma Liolim Chukihi, maybe it is a Chok L'Avodah Zarah, V'kivin D'Ksiva Bar Raisa, Lo Garmina Minayu. But since it's something that's written in the Torah that is an appropriate thing for us to do, so we didn't learn it from them. Meaning, let's say, Avodah Avodah Zarah were to start to take a branch and a citrus fruit and wave them at certain times of the year in their holidays. Would that be Mevata, the Mitzvah of Dalad Minim? Meaning, if we have something that precedes their own minhagim and it comes from the Torah, so we don't just ignore it because it happens to be something that they do as well. He's saying, quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, "Dachi amrin parak dal misos kabi mitzvos ane aragin." The Rabbanan amri b'sayif kederach sham malchus ose. The Rabbanan say that how do you do hereg? You do it with a sword like the malchus does. And Rabbi Yehuda says bekofit. V'tanya, we have a brisa. Amalem Rabbi Yehuda lechacham. Rabbi Yehuda says, why do you do it with a kofitz, with a cleaver rather than with a sword? Yodei ani shemisu menuvelis yizu. He says, I know that it's very gruesome to do it the way I said. Avol ma'asa shariyam ratar b'chukaseim lo selechu. But what am I supposed to do? The Gayim do it with a sword, and we're not allowed to do like they do. So Amalel, the Chacham said back, no, kivin d'chsiv ha'riga b'araisa, anan lo gamrin minayu. It says hereg in the Torah. We didn't get it from them. We're doing it because that's what we do, not because that's what they do. The ilote ma'achi, because if you don't say like that, hadatanya sarfin ala malachim v'lo midarkei amori, anan echi sarfinan. The Gemara uses this example. That which we say that we burn for the kings, and it's not midarkei amori. How are we allowed to do it? El kivin d'ksiva bar raisa lava nan minayu kogamrinan hachinami. So since it's something that we had it first, it's not something we're learning from them, and therefore it's no problem. So what's the kash of the Gemara over here? So if you look a few lines later in Tosos quotes a very important yesod from the Ri. He says, l'kach pirush Ri, detrei gavni chuka havu. Not every chuka sakum is created equal. There are two types of chukim. Echad sha'osin l'shem chok l'avod z'chavim, ve'echad sha'osin l'shem das hevel v'shtus shalahem. Sometimes something is called a chok because it's like a chok b'li tam. It doesn't have any reason and they just do it for no reason whatsoever. It's just stam shtus. Something like that. If we had a similar minhag first, then we're allowed to continue that minhag. But when it's a chok l'avodah zarah, even if we had the minhag first, even if we had that practice first, if it's something that's a chok l'avodah zarah, then we would not be allowed to do it. So that's what's going on in the Gemara over here. The Gemara says, isn't it a chok l'avodah zarah? The Gemara says, well, if it's a chok l'avodah zarah, how are we allowed to do it? Granted, we had it first, but if it's a chok l'avodah zarah, we're still not allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a chok l'avodah zarah, it's a chok of hevel v'shtus that they do, but since we had a similar minhag first, so we're allowed to continue along with that minhag. Very important distinction made by Tosfos. Okay, says the Gemara Viter. Gufa. Last one line is Gufa. Sarfan al Malachim Vein Bo Mishum Darkei Amori. We're allowed to burn things when a king dies, and it's not considered Darkei Amori. to go and be sorry of things when a king dies. Shenemar b'shalom tamus masrifos of asecha malachim ugomer. Ukshem shesofren al malachim, kach sofren al nasiim. And it's not only for kings, for nasiim as well. Umayim sofren al malachim. What exactly do we burn when a king dies? Mitasen ukleitash mishan. Their beds and their normal kelim that they would use on a consistent basis. Umayis shemes from Gamliel Azakein. And once from Gamliel Azakein died, the sarifal of unklus hager shivim manatsuri. And Unklus Hager burnt 70 tsuri silver coins because of him. But wait a second, I thought they only burned kalim. What's he burning money for? What's he burning silver for? Ema bishiv manatsuri. No, it means that he burnt stuff that was worth, the clothing that's worth shiv manatsuri, not that he actually burnt the coins themselves. But just as a historical note, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the back of the Gemara, he says, wait a second, Rabbi Gamliel Azakin and Unklus, they weren't even close to the same generation. Right, he says over here that to me, ki halo unklus Talmud Reb Lezer Reb Yeshua haya veima yu achra churban v'chaver shalom Gamliel biyavne hayu shayu nechto shalom Gamliel azaken, that the unklus was a Talmud of people who were grandchildren, Talmidim of grandchildren of Rav Gamliel Azakein. So Unklus shouldn't have been around when Rav Gamliel Azakein died. And so he says, you have to say that it's a Tosafot over here that shouldn't say Rav Gamliel Azakein. It should mean the grandson, not Rav Gamliel Azakein, but his grandson, the other Rav Gamliel, Rav Gamliel of Yavne. Or maybe there were two Unklus Hageres. There was another Unklus Hager, as we alluded to before, and maybe this was a different Unklus Hager. Okay, but either way, says the Gemara further, Vatanya, Okrina, I'm sorry, Umidi Achrina Lo, do we not burn anything else? It's really only limited to his bed and his Klei Tashmisho. Vatanya, we have a Braisa, Okrina Lamalachim Venimu Mishum Darke Amori, that you're allowed to be Oker, you're allowed to cut the tendons of an animal for as a sign of mourning for a king, and it's not a problem with Darke Amori. Rav Papa Sus Sharachav Alav. He says, yeah, that's one of the kalim that he would use all the time, because we're talking about the horse that he would ride on all the time. So Rashi over here says, Tosos over here says, Okrin Ala Malachim, says, Im Tomer Amaylo Parech Vayikat Sar Balei Chaim. Why doesn't Gemara say that it's a different problem to cut the tendons in an animal's feet, that it's Sar Balei Chaim to do so? Like the Gemara says later on, in a couple of davim from now, Gabi Nosim Nosim B'Shuk Shalavod Chavim, that Bal Tashchis may not be a problem, but because it's done for the Kvod Shel Melech, but what about Sar Balei Chaim? So it says Tosos, the shiny covered a melech should cover the Kol Yisrael, Vasu covered Rabin V'dachit Sar Balei Chaim. That covered a melech is apparently something that's so important that it even uproots Sar Balei Chaim, it even overpowers the issue of Tsar Balei Chaim. The Noda Behuda writes in Madura Tinyana Simen Yud that it's mashmah from here that Tsar Balei Chaim is worse than Bal Tashchis, because Bal Tashchis we don't have a problem with. Tsar Balei Chaim we have a problem with. Tosfos has raised the issue with. So it sounds like Tsar Balei Chaim is worse than Bal Tashchis, and therefore even though Bal Tashchis is mutul tzorech, Tsar Balei Chaim is not mutul tzorech. It has to be a major tzorech, not just any small tzorech where you can say it's okay to torture an animal because it's amusement, it's fun for me to do so. That's not good enough. It needs to be a major tzorech, whereas Bal Tashchis is any sort of tzorech. And based on that, Noda Behuda, that's the famous tshuva of the Noda Behuda about hunting, whether a Jew is allowed to go hunting. So Noda Behuda says, just for sport, it's really not appropriate. But he says, Meikra Din, if you're benefiting from it because you're getting the animal's hide and it's something that has value to you, so Meikra Din, it's really mutter. But Noda Behuda writes in the tshuva, but think about who are the great hunters in history. You have Esav, you have Nimrod, are these the people that we really want to emulate? Is this really a Jewish midah? It's going to teach you achzarius. You know, our heritage is David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, who were shepherds, who took care of animals, who didn't act with cruelty toward animals. So it's not an appropriate thing for a Ben Torah to be doing, although technically Meikar Adin, it might in fact be mutter. So frankly, Maro Behema Torah Lo, did they not also do this to a kosher animal? V'atanya Ikor Sheyesh Batrefa Aser V'Shem Batrefa Mutter. We learned in a Braisa, and I'm going to read this the way Rashi does. Tosos has a very different reading of it, of this line. But Ikur Sheyesh Betreifa, if you do Ikur in a way that a behema becomes treif because of it, it's usher to do such an Ikur, even though you have no intention to get hanah from it anyway. It's usher to cause a behema to become a treifa biyadayim. You're not allowed to go and cause treifa directly. V'shein Betreifa, but if you're not causing any sort of treifas in the animal, mutter, it's going to be mutter. Ve'ezu Ikur She'in Betreifa. What is an example of Ikur She'in Betreifa where you're not making the animal a treifa? Hamanasha prasasem in our Ruva Lamata. If you cut the tendons in a certain low place on the animal's leg, it's not going to cause it to be a trefa. But the whole discussion assumes that we're talking about a behema tahora. Otherwise, what's the issue of becoming a trefa if the behema is a behema tameya anyway? So you see clearly that they would do this even for a behema tahora. So Tirgumar Papa Be'egla Moshechas Bekaron. We're talking about the calf that goes and helps pull the wagon of the king. So it's also one of the king's kalim. So it fits in line with the clay tashmisho of a king. Fine. Yom Teglach HaZikra. We also said the day that the king shaves his beard is a big day. So Yibayilu, Hechik Tani Yom Teglach HaZikra V'Anachas Balariso, Odilna Yom Teglach HaZikra V'Avaras Balariso. We also mentioned something about the baloris of the king, the chup that the king grows, the extra piece of hair that he grows. So is it the day that he cuts that piece, or the day that he leaves that piece? So Tashema, Detanya Travayu, Yom Teglach HaZikra V'Anachas Balariso, Yom Teglach HaZikra V'Avaras Balariso. Either way, they're both very special days for the king. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Oda Cheres Yesh Lem Baromi. There was another special day in Rome. Echad Shem Shanum Vin Madam Shalom. Once every 70 years, they would take a perfectly healthy person, Umarkimino Sal Adam Chiger, and they would put him up on the shoulders of someone who was lame, someone who had a problem with his legs. And the symbolism of it, Rashi explains, was that the guy on top was symbolized Esav, and the guy on the bottom symbolized Yaakov, who had a limp because of the fight with the Malach of Esav. Umalbishno Sal Big Day Adam Arishon, and they would put on the Begadim of Adam Arishon on him, Umanichlo Barosh of Karkfilo Shal Rabbi Shmuel, and they would put the scalp of Rabbi Shmuel on his head. We know Rabbi Shmuel is one of the Asar Arugei Malchus, and the daughter of the officer wanted to preserve his beauty, so they skinned him. So they still had the scalp, they would put it on the guy's head, Vitale B'Savari Mitkal Reish Zuzah Defiza, and they would put a very valuable stone that weighed a lot around his neck, Umechafenes Hashvachim B'Inach, and they would cover the streets with Inach, another type of very valuable stone, Umachrizin L'Fan of Sach Kiri Plaster, and they would make an announcement in front of him that the Nevuos of Yaakov Avinu about when the Achlas Hayamim is going to be were a joke. They were inaccurate. Achua de Marana Zayafna, the brother of our master of Esav, is a liar. The Chami Chami de La Chami La Chami. Anyone who's able to see this event, it's great. If you're not able to see this event, you're not going to see it again because it only happens once every 70 years. Maya Hani the Rama Baramuse the Zayafna b'Zayafnuse, and they would say, what did it help for that liar to go and deceive our father Esav and to be such a deceitful person? But then they would be Messiah, Vaila Dain Kad Yakum Dain. Woe unto us when this one rises. Amar Ravashi, Yechshilim Pil Mirashayim. So Ravashi says, you see, even in their own declaration, they really messed up. Iyamru Zayafna Achua de Marana Kedakamri. If they would have said the word Zayafna Achua de Marana, then it would have the connotation that they intended. Hashadamri de Marana Zayafna Marana Gufe Zayafnu. But now they said Marana Zayafna. The way they said Achua de Marana Zayafna. So you can read it as their own master is the one who's the liar. Vitani Dun, my time in local Chashavla. Why don't we mention this on the list of holidays? We only mention annual holidays in our Mishnah. Hani de Ramay. So we mentioned the Roman holidays, the Parsai Mai. What were the Parsai holidays? Mutardi v'tosiku muharnki u'moharin. Hani de Parsai u de Ramay, de Bavlai Mai. What were the Babylonian holidays? Muharnki v'ankise b'chanuni v'eser ba'adar. Amr av chanu barav chista amarav, amri lam rav chanu barav amarav. Chamisha bati avod zcham k'vunhein. There are five established bati avod zara. Elohein, base balba bavel, base nevo b'korsi, tarasa shemafag, tzrifa sheba ashkelon, nasha sheba aravya. Kiyas rav dimi, when rav dimi came, hosifu alein, yirid sheba ein bechi, a sixth one. Nidfcha sheba acho, and a seventh one. Ikida amri nisraba sheba acho. Others say it was nisraba in acho. Rav dimi narda, masni ipcha, yirid sheba acho, nidfcha sheba ein bechi. Amle rav chanam bar rav chista, my kavuin hein. What does it mean that these are kavua, that they're established? Amle hachi am ravua di imich. So says your grandfather, your maternal grandfather. Kavunein la olam tadira kula shasa palchilu. Kavua means that they do it consistently and that every single year they worship Avodah Zarah in these places. Amr Shmuel, Begola Enu Asr El Yom Idam Bilvad, that in Galus it's only Asr on the Yom Ayid itself, meaning not on the days preceding the Yom Ayid, only the Yom Ayid itself is going to be a problem. V'yom Idam Nami Mi Asr, but in Galus, is even the Yom Ayid itself really Asr? For V'yuda Sharele the Rav Barona L'Zvune Chamra, Ul Rav Gidl L'Zvune Chitin, B'chagasa D'tayai, but didn't we allow certain business practices on the actual Chag of the Arab merchants, even though l'chora, their Chag was the Yom Ayyad itself. So we see, even on the Yom Ayyad, it's going to be mutter. Forget about the days before. Says those were not established holidays that they did every single year, and therefore that was going to be mutter. Okay, but Hashem will pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.